There you go. Well, let's open in the word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank you so much for just bringing us here as we talk about this very important topic of managing our emotions, specifically with anger. And Lord, we all have it. We all have the potential for it. But we want to know how we could live lives that are free from negative emotions like anger and instead have hearts that are filled with joy and love and peace and rejoicing in you. So we ask that you'd be the one to be with us today and speak to us through your Holy Spirit as we so heard in today's message. What an appropriate time to talk about this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, so we've been talking about emotions for the last couple of weeks. Why is it important to understand our emotions? Why is it important to understand our emotions? Well, you know, a lot of the bad choices we've made in life are most likely emotional decisions. And sometimes we feel that it's hard to control our emotions. But there is a way to do it, but it's not very explicit. Because, you know, your emotions don't follow what you tell it to feel. For example, if you're afraid and it says, don't be afraid, or you're angry and it says, don't be angry, or you're sad and depressed, don't be sad. Does it ever follow you? But there is a way. There is a way, but you just have to dig deeper as to what's causing those emotions. And I don't mean to say that emotions are bad, okay? Emotions are neither good nor bad. It just depends on what kind of emotion you're going through. Emotions that are led by the Holy Spirit are good. But when they're emotions that are led by the flesh, it's not good. Those are the times we make bad decisions. And today we're going to talk about anger. And how do you manage anger? Well, if you've got your handouts, how?
You say, stop it!
Yeah! we showed that video last week. You should probably watch it. It's in our website. But yeah, it doesn't work. But the anger as an emotion is very powerful. Marriages break up because of anger. Relationship with your kids or your parents break up because of anger. Wars are caused by anger. So it has the potential of having individual and global devastating effects if left on its own. And danger, the dangerous thing about anger is it can also be very addictive as substance abuse. And there are some people that are addicted to anger. Like you just do something that they don't like and immediately you set them off. Do you know people like that? Yeah. It can be addictive because it's a very strong controlling behavior. When I was a manager in the Philippines, I struggled with an anger problem. Why? Because there, if you shout, you can verbally abuse people and get away with it. And it gets results, you know. So with that, I thought, I should be angry all the time. I'm getting results. But it was destroying my soul. Anger is destructive both to its source, the person who's angry, and the recipient, the one you're angry at. It's destructive. Why? Because it breaks relationships. It destroys relationships. And it destroys you as a person. But the thing about anger is not a primary emotion. Anger is not a primary emotion. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's not a primary emotion. There are many primary emotions, and a primary emotion is your initial response to your life experience, and you feel them instinctively. What do I mean? Well, for example, love is a positive primary emotion. Affection, attraction, fondness, etc., are variants of love. It's like you don't have to think about it. It just happens. You feel it. Have you ever felt that when you were in high school, perhaps? You know, you see a cute guy or a cute girl. And say, oh, I like that person. You know, you don't have to think about it. It just happens. It's a knee-jerk reaction to something inside of you that connects with your emotions. So those are primary emotions. Hurt is a primary emotion. Something says something to you and it hurts your feelings. You get hurt. You don't have to think about that. Oh, am I going to get hurt about that or not? No, you just get hurt. It's a primary emotion. It's your first knee-jerk reaction to an event in your life. Fear is a primary emotion. If you see a snake pass by, immediately you feel fear. You know, you don't have to think about it. Oh, is that a snake? Am I supposed to be afraid? No, you just run, you know. You just, it's a primary emotion. It's their very first reaction, an emotional response to an event. Sadness is a primary emotion. You just feel sad. Something happens to you, you feel sad right away. Nobody tells you to feel sad. You feel sad. It's just an initial reaction. Joy is a primary emotion. Something happens and you're really happy about it. You rejoice, you're joyful. Anger is a secondary emotion. And let me explain why that's important to know. Secondary emotions are what you feel after you have processed, meaning you've thought about your primary emotions. It is an emotional response to a primary emotion you have already processed. Now, what does that mean? It means something happened to you, you feel a primary emotion, and then you feel a secondary emotion. Secondary emotions are feelings that you've processed, okay, and decided that this is how I'm going to act if this primary emotion occurs in my heart. For example, a secondary emotion related to fear would be anxiety. You see, what? We have a test today? You come into the classroom and someone says, hey, did you study for the test? What? We have a test today and you didn't study. What happens? Your fear is, hey, I didn't study. I'm not prepared. That's your fear. But anxiety comes and says, I'm going to fail this class. Oh, no. And then I'm not going to be able to graduate from college. And now you've gone into a deeper dive on secondary emotions, and it causes you anxiety or stress. Or, you know, you have to speak in public, and all of a sudden, you have fear because you have a fear of speaking in public. Then all of a sudden, you feel, oh, I don't want to speak in public. And then you revert to your shyness, default to shyness. Did you know that they took a survey that there are more people afraid of public speaking than they're afraid of death? They took a survey. And so when you go to a memorial service and there's a hearse there, there's some people who'd rather be the hearse than speak in public talking about them. But the point is, there are secondary emotions. A secondary emotion related to joy would be ecstasy or pleasure or entertainment. You're happy and then you find, oh, this is funny, and you're watching a comedy show. Secondary emotions are decisions you have locked in your mind regarding the way you will respond when you feel your primary emotions. Why is that important in understanding anger? Well, for example, trust is a secondary emotion related to love. Shame is a secondary emotion related to guilt. Anger is a secondary emotion related to hurt. And here's the problem with anger. When somebody says something or does something to hurt you, and you get hurt, you feel hurt, your initial sinful response after the hurt would be anger. Why? Because we're broken and fallen human beings. I have never yet but I've met very few people that their initial response would be forgiveness. Oh, you hurt me. I forgive you. Those are very rare times when a person does that. And those are very mature and highly evolved, emotionally involved people. Our initial reaction is always anger. Why? Why? Because we're broken, fallen human beings. It's just a given. Yes.
What would you say is the primary emotion when, for example, your grown-up child did something which you specifically said, like, you should not do this?
Well, I would say the initial primary emotion would be hurt. You'd be disappointed. So hurt would be, didn't listen to me. After all I've done to love you, and you didn't listen to me. So you feel bad, you feel hurt. And then you say, I'm very disappointed at you. Secondary emotion. You've processed it and say, this emotion, this hurt, is causing me to be disappointed. And then you may eventually end up with a lot of other emotions, like, I'm angry at my child. They should know better. So now it can evolve into a lot of other secondary emotions depending on how you process the hurt.
It could also be fear.
It could be fear too.
You're afraid, like, if they don't listen to me,
they're going to fail and mess up. Yes. So it could lead to other negative emotions. And that's why this is so difficult to manage. Maybe I'll skip this video. Maybe I'll show it. I showed it already. This is the video of, I don't know if you've watched the movie Forrest Gump. Yeah. Forrest Gump saved his commanding officer, Lieutenant Dan. Saved his life, but he lost his legs. And instead of being grateful to Forrest Gump for saving his life, he was actually angry with Forrest Gump. Watch this. Watch this video clip.
Yes, sir, I do.
Did you hear what I said? You cheated! I had death to me. I was supposed to die in a field with honor. That was my destiny. And you cheated me out of...
You understand what I'm saying, Doc? This wasn't supposed to happen. Not to me. I had a destiny. I was Lieutenant Dan Taylor.
You still Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Do now.
What am I going to do now?
This is a very common result of post-traumatic stress disorder. When a person loses something or goes to a very traumatic event, and this traumatic event was he lost his legs during the war. And when a person gets hurt, usually the most common reaction is you have to blame somebody. You have to blame somebody. Some people, they blame God. Other people, they blame somebody else. They have to find a way or a person or something to blame. They blame the government. He blamed the person who saved his life, Forrest Gump. Why? Because in his mind, he should have died in the battlefield with honor. But now he has to live with being, in his mind, a freak with no legs. And he can't live with that reality of not being whole physically. That was an unacceptable reality to him. But it's a reality nevertheless, but he couldn't accept it emotionally. So what did he do? He blames somebody. He blames Forrest Gump. But Forrest Gump was so spot on. He said, you're still Lieutenant Dan, you know. Your identity hasn't changed. But to him, it has. Eventually, if you notice the ending of the story, he recovered from that. And he had prosthetics put on him. And he actually married a Vietnamese lady. So, you know, what happened? Why was he so angry? Because his processing of the hurt that happened to him, what was he hurt about? What was he hurting about? The loss of his legs. Something very precious to him. What do you think people get angry about? Most of the time.
I would say hurt.
Hurt. Yeah. Something that hurt you. So primary emotion is hurt, and then you process it and says, I can't accept this. I'm hurt, so now I'm going to get angry. So anger is a secondary emotion you experience when you get hurt. A loss. Loss causes you hurt.
And
yes.
And then you go through that process of blaming God and blaming other people.
Yes.
And when you, then you turn on yourself.
Yes, and you can blame yourself too.
Yeah.
Yes. You can blame yourself. That's very common. The three things that people blame the most are God, themselves, or other people, or other events. But we're going to talk about that some more.
He also thought that he lost what he thought was his destiny. Like,
oh, yes, that's right.
I remember.
That's right.
Like his father had died in battle.
Yes, yes. They were all heroes.
So
they died as heroes.
That's how he saw his destiny was to die.
Yes. He lost the opportunity to be honorable. He lost honor. And that was hurtful for him. He lost that opportunity to die an honorable death.
Especially if it's how you identify, like he identified that that was what he was supposed
yes.
to be, and now it isn't.
It isn't. And he blames Forrest Gump for it. Exactly.
We're butting in his way.
Yes, yes. In. Yeah, he didn't ask him to save me. I didn't ask him to save me. I wanted to die.
Butting into my life.
Now, there are unhealthy ways of dealing with anger. The most common one is we repress our anger, you know. And that may work, you know. You suppress your anger and your emotions. You push it down. That would work. But guess what happens when you keep doing that? It becomes like a volcano that's gathering steam, and then it will explode at one point. And then you wonder, what's wrong with him? You know, what's wrong with her? No, it's just a little thing. Well, no, it's a lot of small things that have piled up. And now they're upset with that person. Other people, however, would do the opposite. They will vent out, which I call indiscriminate expression, meaning they will just lash out at everybody. You had a rough day in the office, you lash out at your spouse, you lash out at your children, you lash out at everybody, you go sit down and sulk and watch TV, and then afterwards you lash out again. And some people, they feel better after they've gotten it out of their system. But then everybody else is miserable. So here's something for you to think about. To deal with anger, you need to deal with the primary emotion associated with anger. To superficially deal with anger through repression or punishment. Sometimes you punish your kid. You're misbehaving, then you punish your kid, you know. Sometimes you suppress, they suppress their emotion because you punish them. It's counterproductive because it merely suppresses the emotion and doesn't address the root cause. At best, it only yields temporary results, and at worst, it leads to resentment and passive-aggressive behavior. I find this very common in marriages. When a couple would fight, it appears like one would win and get his or her way, but then the other spouse that is that lost is passive-aggressive. They harbor resentment in their heart because they were not heard or brushed off or disregarded. And they may have just kept quiet to avoid an argument, but deep down inside, they are resentful. And that's a killer of relationships. In any relationship, whether it's husband, wife, parents, children to parents, your office mates, you know, it's very common. You can feel this with your boss if your boss is very domineering and controlling. You may develop a sense of resentment. You say, yes, boss, yes, boss, yes, boss. But deep down inside you, you wish a train would run him over someday, you know, or a car would run him over. That's being passive aggressive. So the way to deal with anger is you deal with the primary emotion that causes you to be angry. You don't just deal with the anger. A lot of anger management fails because it just deals with the anger. It doesn't go deep enough to deal with what's causing your anger. So anger may be the result of a hurtful event in your life. If it is, then anything that triggers that hurtful event will cause an angry response. I'm going to show a video clip, again from Forrest Gump. And this one was when he was having a nice stroll with eventually became his wife, Jenny. And Jenny, as a child, was abused by her father. Was sexually abused by her father. And because of that, her life was messed up. She became a prostitute. She became suicidal. She became an alcoholic. And she came back to the town where they grew up. Forrest Gump was there, and they eventually got married. But here's what happened when they were strolling and they encountered or saw Jenny's old house. Watch this.
And she'd listen about ping ponging and shrimping and mama making a trip up to heaven. I did all the talking. Jenny most of the time was,
they were having fun.
Thank you.
sometimes I guess there just aren't enough rocks.
Let's unpack that a little bit. What was she angry about? They were having fun, right? They were having fun. They were taking a stroll. They were just talking and laughing. And then all of a sudden, she saw the house. It brought back painful, hurtful experiences she's had as a child. She was a child. She didn't know how to process those feelings. She was a vulnerable child. And she didn't know how to process those feelings. She was hurt as a child.
Helpless.
She felt helpless. Because she was a child. She didn't have a choice. It was her father, I don't know if it's her father or stepfather, that was abusing her. And did you notice she as she was throwing the rock, she said, "How can you do this?" She said. The house triggered an emotion. It triggered a memory. And you know, there are many hurts that we've had in our lifetime. Anything in our current setting can trigger those emotions. People who go through post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, that happens all the time. What she actually went through was a form of PTSD. She was traumatized as a child. And so she just saw the house, immediately it triggered all those emotions like it happened yesterday. And she broke down and cried. She was angry that that happened to her. Now, say something happens to you. Say you've had a very controlling parent. And no matter what you do, that parent just leans on you as you were growing up and was on your case and kept scolding you. And it's so hard to please that parent, and a parent is very controlling. Okay, say you've resolved your issues with your mother and you have peace, she's dead already, or your father. And then you work for a boss who's also controlling. What potential is that to you as an adult? It's quite possible that all the hurt that you've had with your controlling parent would rise to the surface. And now here's your boss who reminds you of that painful hurt. And now you're angry at that boss too, the same way you're angry with that parent. And you keep telling yourself, "No, I shouldn't be angry." But you're still angry. Why? It's most likely it's because you haven't processed that hurt that you've experienced with your parent as a child growing up. Most people would just deal with the present. But here's how you deal with the anger at its root cause. You have to go back to those memories, to those hurts when you're a child, and you have to forgive the source of that hurt. It's only when you're able to forgive that and let it go, make a conscious decision to let it go, that it will not haunt you anymore in the present time. That's what Pastor Frank was talking about when he talked about the power of the Word of God. Because the Word of God teaches us to forgive. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the Word of God is very powerful. And these are principles that God teaches us in Scripture. That's why in Scripture you hear a lot of, in Scripture you read a lot of laments. A lament is a cry out to God for the hurt and the pain that has happened to you and is causing you to be angry. Imprecatory psalms are in the in the scriptures as well. And Proctor Scrum says, you read 139, Psalm 139. David worships God, and then all of a sudden, towards the end of the chapter, he says, oh, how I wish you would kill all these bad people. I hate them with a perfect hatred, you know? And all of a sudden, he rants about all these people that have hurt him, all his enemies that have killed his friends in war, all these heathens out there, you know? I mean, remember, David was a warrior king. And a warrior king, he experienced post-traumatic stress disorder as well. Because there, when you go into battle, you would slice the person up close and personal with your sword. And then you look around and you see your friends getting sliced too. It's very traumatic. And David was a warrior king. He experienced all of that. And so in his meditations to God, all of a sudden these hurtful feelings would come to the surface while he's meditating, and then he offers it to God and says, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. He surrenders all of those negative, hurtful emotions to God while he's meditating. And that's the process that he uses in order to keep his sanity. You know the king who didn't do that? Saul. Saul didn't do that. That's why there are instances wherein he would have a PTSD episode, and they would have David play his musical instrument to soothe his nerves, and then he would get a spear and throw it at David. From out of the blue. He will just do that. What's that? That's a PTSD episode. But instead of trusting in God, Saul hid from God. And that's why he never found healing for his emotional brokenness. I could go on and on and talk about that, but let's go back to anger. How do you deal with anger as a destructive secondary emotion? Well, healing comes when you forgive, grieve, or lament the hurtful and destructive events in your life, resulting in a different narrative regarding what happened to you, who you are, and who you want to be. So from the time you hurt, which is your primary emotion, and until before you reach your secondary emotion, which is anger, and that happens very fast, but you're going to slow down the process. And you're going to catch yourself and you're going to say, wait a minute, let me change this narrative. I don't have to get angry. I have a choice. And I'm going to change this narrative. Forgiveness allows you to reinterpret the painful and hurtful events in your life as having design and purpose. God did not cause those hurtful events. However, if you surrender it to Him, He can use those events for your spiritual growth, and you are no longer a victim. You have a choice, and you can choose to forgive. That's you exercising your power of choice. You can forgive that person that you're ticked off with, that person that you're upset with, that person that makes you angry. Changing your narrative through forgiveness and accepting hurtful events in the light of God's love has the power to transform your life and set you free from anger.
Pastor Prince, how about if it's the event isn't a person, it's cancer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, do you remember, do you know this guy? Nick Wiecki? Yeah. He's born with no arms and legs. That's an event. It's nobody's fault. It's one in a million that happens, and he happened to be the one. And he went through that downward spiral of depression as well. Growing up without any arms and legs, I mean, your life must really suck if that happened to you. But that happened to him. And he became suicidal. He blamed God, blamed himself, blamed spirit, blamed everybody. But look at him now. He surfs, he swims, he overcame his fears, he overcame his anger, He's a motivational speaker. He travels the world. I mean, if he can do it, you can do it. He got married. He's got great children. I mean, you know. No arms, no legs, beautiful family. Beautiful wife. I mean, you know, you got to balance out life somehow. But if you focus on the negative, then you're going to go down that downward spiral. But he refused to be a victim. And you know who made the difference in his life? Jesus. And he goes all over the world sharing that story. What an inspiring story of what forgiveness can do to change a person's life. Here are some verses that you can look at. And it's in your notes. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, meaning you have to surrender all of you to God. And listen to what he says. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Why? Because the pattern of thinking of the world is negative. It's negative. Almost all that's driving these movements now are driven by anger and negative emotion. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now remember, I asked you, has your emotions ever followed what you tell it to do? No, it doesn't. You know what your emotions follow? It follows what you believe in. It follows what you believe. I know a pastor who can tell you all the right things. He says, God is love. God is... But because of something that happened in his life, he actually doesn't believe God is love. And he fell into depression because something bad happened to his life. It caused him to be depressed. He knows God is love, but deep down in his heart, he feels God has abandoned him. That's how he feels, because that's what he's thinking. What he's really thinking is that God doesn't care for him. And that's why he went down that downward spiral. Your emotions will follow what you believe. So, if your boss is a very controlling person, and it reminds you of your parent who was controlling and hurt you, and now you say, oh, this is just like my parent, controlling, and all your hurts from your childhood, you transferred to your boss. It's called transference. You just transfer that emotion. Because you have connected your boss with a previous event, and you were a child. And so now you're dealing with that kind of anger. It's loaded. The stack is loaded for you to hate your boss. Because your boss reminds you of your controlling mom or your controlling dad that you hate. Because you were put down as a child. And so now what happens? You believe that this person is going to hurt you as well, so you're angry with that person. You have to change that narrative. If you forgive your hurt from your past and you forgive your parents for hurting you, it will be easier for you to forgive your boss, because now you've disarmed that gun and it's no longer aimed at you. You've disarmed that bomb and it no longer explodes. There is no trigger that is being pushed because you've forgiven your past. Does that make sense? And we've got a lot of baggage that comes from our past, all of us, because we live broken lives. Nobody lives the perfect life. That's why it's important to transform your mind, to renew your mind according to the Word of God, because the Word of God will show you a different way and a different narrative for your life. Trust. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Let me tell you something about trust, okay? Because this will happen to you. There will be bad things that will happen to you that you cannot explain. You can't make sense out of it. Why did it happen? You can't make sense out of it. And that's very frustrating. But if you put your trust in the Lord, that he knows the reason behind it, and that's enough for you, that will save your life. And we do that every day. You know, when you drive your car to get here to church, do you understand everything that happens in the engine of your car? No, you don't. You don't know whatever goes on inside the car. You're not an engineer. You don't know what goes on in there. All you know is that your car is trustworthy and you're going to drive it and come here. You trust your car. We don't need to know the reason behind everything that happens to our life. We just need to know that there's someone we can trust who's overseeing our life. You can have peace of mind.
And he's not surprised when an event happens.
No, because he knows about it. No, you're right. And here's another verse. Romans 8, 28 to 29. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's us, who are followers of Jesus. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What does this mean? It means there's design that goes on in our lives. These are not just random events. The bad things that happen to you are not just random events, you know. There's design behind that, and God can use that to transform your life, just like Nick Wiecki. Those are very tragic events that happened to him, to be born with no arms and legs. But he followed God's will for his life and embraced it. And because of that, he had a different narrative about his life. And now he's a motivational speaker inspiring millions of people to do the same thing and trust in Jesus. Design. If there's one thing that I see consistent in all of the heroes of the Bible, is that all of them went through hard times. And God used those hard times to mold them into spiritual giants, and they made a difference in the lives of so many people. They became heroes, superheroes of the faith. But they didn't go through it easily. They went through a lot of hard times. Moses, Joseph, Daniel, David, Elijah, you name them all. All of them went through hard times. So if you're going through hard times, you're in good company. But just wait and see what God's going to do. But you have to embrace God's design for your life. Forgiveness originates with God. Ephesians 4:31 to 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. It says, forgiving one another. And what's the basis for that? Because Christ, God, in Christ, God has forgiven you. Here's the thing. If you find it hard to forgive someone or something, how much do you think has God forgiven you? We're all in the same boat. We're all broken people in need of forgiveness. How much has God forgiven you? And that's our motivation to forgive others. If the forgiveness of God has the power to transform you, it has the power to transform other people as well, if you're able to give them forgiveness. Now, let me just go through this briefly. I've got some more stuff to cover. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It doesn't mean that if you forgive somebody that you have to forget it. No, it may be the result of that, but it doesn't mean for it. When the Bible says God remembers our sin no more, you know, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten our sin, because he has perfect memory. He remembers everything. It just means that he will never use your sin against you anymore. That's what it means. So when we forgive, we make a decision not to hold the offense that other people have done to us against them anymore. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. If you wait for yourself to feel like you want to forgive, you'll probably never get there. It's hard to forgive. And I'll tell you why in a bit. You forgive for your sake to set yourself free. You're not just forgiving the person and letting him off the hook. You're forgiving for your sake so that you can be freed from all the emotional baggage caused by your unforgiveness. Because what you do not forgive will have power over you. If you don't forgive something or somebody, it will make you miserable every time you remember. It will have power over you. Forgiveness is between you and God and not the offender. And I say this because there are instances where the person who's hurt you is already dead. So how can you make peace with somebody who's dead? No, forgiveness is not an issue between you and that person. You may never see that person again. But it's between you and God. You can forgive because it's an issue between you and God, and God is accessible 24/7. He never goes away. Forgiveness is agreeing with the consequences of another person's sin. And here's why it's hard to forgive. Because when you forgive, you're saying, he did the wrong thing, but I'm the one paying for it. That's not fair. Why should I suffer for the wrong thing that somebody else does or somebody else did? That's not fair. That's why it's hard to forgive. But that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, it's not fair, but I can let it go. I'm forgiving it. You know who did that? Jesus. He wasn't the one who sinned, but he paid for sins of mankind. How do you forgive? The first step is to acknowledge the hurt and the hate. It's okay. It really hurts. And you have to acknowledge that it's painful. Don't minimize your pain, because your pain is real to you. And it's okay to feel hurt, because what was done to you was really painful. But then you decide to let go of the offender. Meaning, I will not hold this against the person anymore. I can live with the consequences of what he did to me or she did to me, and I let it go. That's what forgiveness means. Decide to bear the burden of the offenses done to you. I'm paying the consequences for what somebody else did, and I'm okay with it. That's very hard to do, but you can decide to do it. Accept your reality and let go of the hurt. It's already happened. You can't go back in time anymore. I accept that. I can find peace with that. I let it go. But then you let God be the ultimate judge of all the events. You're looking to a day where God will deal justly with all the evil in the world, including those people who hurt you. Just let it go. Give it to God. Don't be the one to exact revenge. Leave revenge to God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now, there's a worksheet there in your handout. And I'd like us to say this prayer and go through a list of people or events that you feel have hurt you. And we're going to apply what we learned today, okay? But you can go home and apply this even more. I would encourage you to do that, but just let's start it off today, or at this time. And can we all together pray this prayer? Can we do that? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the riches of your kindness, forbearance, and patience, knowing that your kindness has led me to repentance. I confess that I have not extended the same patience and kindness towards others who have offended me. But instead, I have harbored bitterness and resentment. I pray that during this time of self-examination, you would bring to mind only those people that I have not forgiven in order that I might do so. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, who are the people we should forgive? You know, you'll be surprised that number one on a lot of people's list is God. It's not that God has done them wrong. It's just that they feel that way. I've heard a lot of people say, I was only 5 years old and God took away my mom with cancer. If he's a loving God, why did he allow that? So God is not the cause of that cancer, but the person blames God for it. And people do that all the time. They blame God for a lot of stuff that that God didn't do or isn't responsible for. But if you feel that way at the back of your mind, it's going to affect how you feel and how you will respond towards God. And so God is one person that you might have issues with. He didn't do anything wrong with you. But if you feel that way, then you have to put him in this list as well and let it go. Let those emotions go. Another top of the list is myself. There are many times we've done wrong and messed up, and we find it hard to forgive ourselves. And we have to let ourselves off the hook as well. If you've brought it to God and God has forgiven you, then you have no basis for not forgiving yourself. You can forgive yourself and let yourself off the hook. And then other people who have hurt you. Who are those people in your lives? Write those down. Or events. Events in your life that was very painful to you. Write that down in your list. And for each person in your list, pray to God and say the following. Lord, I forgive this or so-and-so for that, doing that. And specifically identify all the offenses and painful memories that you have towards that person. This is a very private list. You're the only one who should see this. But it's just between you and God. But I would encourage you to do that. Yes.
The scenario is I have accepted Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But there is a verse in Matthew 6:15 that says that, but if you do not forgive people their offenses, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Mm-hmm. Does it mean to say that I'm not really a child of God if I cannot forgive others?
No, that's not what that verse is implying. That verse is just probably saying that all of us believers and followers of Jesus have the capacity to forgive others. You have to remember, forgiveness is a process. You may not be willing to forgive now, but maybe 1 week from now, 1 month from now, 1 year from now, you may be in a different place. And you're able to forgive at some point. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The only time you will not be able to forgive is if the Holy Spirit is not in you, then you're not really forgiven. But every believer has the Holy Spirit in him or her, and that gives them the ability to forgive. But you have to give yourself some slack. It's not, I forgive. It's not that easy. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit to bring you through this process of forgiveness. We're just starting this, and I'd like to say maybe give 5 minutes for you to go through and make some of your list. And then you can go home or go to a park or go to someplace private and then go down to that list and talk to God about this list that you have. If you listen to the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I mean, as you go on through life, we pick up a lot of baggage because a lot of things will hurt you as you move on through life. This is a broken world, a very broken world. And we deal with broken people all the time that has the potential of hurting us. And that's why God equipped us with forgiveness. Yes?
One thing that helps me with this too is to know I'm not telling God anything he doesn't know.
Yes, yes. He knows it already.
Informing him, he knows. Yes.
Yes, yes. That's why this exercise is really for you. He knows this already. But when you surrender those feelings to him and forgive those feelings, forgive the hurt and the pain, the Holy Spirit moves in your life and settles it once and for all.
He's cheering us on.
Yes, yes. His Holy Spirit is there, leading us, taking us by the hand. So that we know that in our pain, we are not alone. Why do you think did Jesus have to come down to earth to experience what it's like to be a human being? So that, exactly, so that no one of us can ever say to Jesus, you don't know how I feel. None of us can say that. God could have just said, okay, I forgive all your sins. But no, he had to go down to earth, become one of us, represent us, die on the cross for our sins, be hurt, be broken, go through human experiences like we do in this broken world. Can you do that? Can you fill this list up? Try. That's good enough for God. Good enough for God, you know, make the effort. I'm sure every one of us have different lists, some longer than others. But hey, the Lord knows what you're going through. The Lord knows where you've been, but there's a place where he wants you to go, and that is freedom. And that's where we want to be as well, that place of freedom. The freedom of forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for the power in your word that allows us to be set free from destructive, negative emotions that we have inside of us. And pray that as we talk about anger, we run to the cross where there's forgiveness. Forgiveness for us. And the strength and the ability to forgive others as well. Thank you, O Lord, because you went there ahead of us. And so we have a role model that we can follow to lead us every step of the way. And I know, Lord, that it's not easy. It's painful. But I know that you will speak to every one of us here if we open our hearts to you and let you in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you.